We are, just give me a little bit more on this mic, so I can be very loud this morning. I feel like being very loud today. We're thankful to the Lord. We're celebrating in our family this weekend, and I know that early in the weekend, we got word that one of the best colleges in the country offered our son admission. Wow. I know that's a miracle. Northwestern University, I know that we had gone there last year, one of the tours that we did. I know even the gentleman who was taking us on this tour, you remember? I mean, this guy happened to be someone who studied in a school here in Cleveland as well. You remember this guy? But went to one of the most expensive schools in this city. What's that school again? University, where, I mean, people pay thousands of dollars to go to these schools, these private schools. Thousands and thousands of dollars. And I remember this guy was walking us through, and he was telling us a few things, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. And I know one of the things he told us one particular summer before he even applied to Northwestern, he said, you know, he went there for the entire summer to do like a summer program where they pay boatloads of money for those kind of things. I mean, E.D. went to just Mayfield, is it? What's the name of your high school again? Just one of those local, just one of those local high schools just around the corner right here. I mean, you can walk from here just in a couple of minutes and you'll be in Mayfield High School right here. Never did any. Did you pay anybody for summer program? Did you? Well, maybe one. We went to one conference, something. But yeah, come on. I mean, come on. And so he's got that one. There might be other very good ones coming. I'm very excited about it because every time those kind of things happen, it's spectacular. There's no way of explaining it. And with the admission, it's going to come a boatload of money, too. Amen. Money. Amen. Do that. Money. All of you, touch him today, because a lot of money is going to follow him very soon. So when things like that do happen, and they do happen periodically, I know a few weeks ago on a Wednesday service, I think it was a Wednesday service I was ministering and said, the Lord is about to do some spectacular things. Just maybe the last, actually the most recent Wednesday online service that we had. The reason those things are so spectacular is there's no way to explain them. There's no way to explain them. You don't see them coming. You don't qualify for them. You have no human natural connections. But they just come from heaven. And so we're really, really thankful to the Lord. Everybody say congratulations, Emmanuel David.
Congratulations.
Say good job. Now, the Lord did it all. And the Lord gets all the glory. We do have a little part that we need to play, you know. Every now and then you need to read, you need to study, you know, you have to do your part. And then you have to receive wisdom. You have to be connected. In wisdom, not with human beings. Every decision you make, you know, one of the things that blessed me a lot about it this weekend is just thinking about both him and Christine, is that they both went to this school right next door here, this school here. It's not really the best school in the city, but they were destined to go to that school. going to that school was a part of God's ordination for them to get to where they would get to. I know it for a fact. Because they could have gone to some better schools. You know, they're very good schools. Solon, Orange, some of these very nice schools. And they still wouldn't have what they have today. Because God puts people on their path. That's the way it works for every believer. It's not so much about, I'm keeping you standing, just stand for a little bit longer. Can you stand for it? It'll help you lose some weight. All right, you don't feel like losing weight. It'll help you be more fit. It'll help you be stronger. Everything about your life is important. It's very easy to sometimes try to work with formulas, and like if you get this job, or if you go to this school, or if you connect with this person, you have to do your part. Human beings, we have our part. But I think it's very important that we put the priority where the priority is the covenant. For you to prosper, for you to be blessed, for you to have everything that God has for you, the priority is the covenant. Now, you put everything else on top of it. You grow skills. You meet people. You go to school. But at the bottom of it, the foundation of it, is the covenant. You guys learned a little bit about, you talked a little bit about Daniel, about Joseph, about all those. Don't take the attention off. Don't put so much of your attention on what skills those boys had. The skills are very important. There are a lot of skillful people who are homeless. There are a lot of skillful people who can't keep a job. Don't put so much of your attention on that. Now, that works hand in hand. It works in tandem with the covenant. But the covenant comes first. The foundation is the most important thing. That foundation is your covenant, is your relationship with God, is the steps you take every day, is how you follow the leading of the Lord, is how you go where the Lord says you should go, when He says you should go, doing what He says you should do. Everything is important. I was saying in the Akron service today, even the little steps that we take, we don't realize how important those steps are, but everything comes together to add to your eventual destination. Sometimes believers think we just do something now and then we get a result next year. It does not work like that. You take several steps. All of us today are taking steps. You are taking steps right now that are either going to lead to some place of glory and favor and blessing, or that can keep you trapped for the rest of your life. Don't make the mistake of thinking, if I do something today, I'll be blessed next year. Yes, you will be blessed next year, but actually, the things you do today will bring you perpetual blessings into your future. It's not just next year. Perpetual. One step connects. I know I've been saying this for years. I try so hard to say it. Sometimes I don't even have the right English words to say it. But I pray for you guys a lot. I pray for you. Because there's potential. I'm telling you, there is potential in every one of God's children. How many of us tap into the potential that there is in us is absolutely determined, not first by what school you go, what you do, who you know, all of that. First, by your covenant, your adherence to this word. Your living by this word. Your faithfulness to this word. You're practicing this word. You're holding on to this word.
There is absolutely no miracle that God has for you that is not first founded in this word. You can't just with your mind make it work. You can't walk your way. Listen, I said this in the Akron service. Hold that music for me, Minister John, so they can hear this one. I don't need too much inspiration on this. If what you get, yeah, you better sit, Minister Sharon. Everybody sit down. Just sit down. I'm sorry, you know, this is me. I talk forever and But if what you get in life is comparable to what other people who are doing works can get, then it is not yet the favor of God that's producing that. Many times in the body of Christ, when people get a little money, they build ministries over, I want to teach you how to make money, they just make a little money. Just a little thing, Not yet the favor. If what you are getting, really, anybody can get it by doing what the world is doing, that's not yet the favor of God. But what God has for you, this is such a deep passion in my heart. I really desire to see God's people prosper. So many believers are so far off from what God has for them. There's a journey. There's a path that you can walk, and God can take you from A to B to C to D, and you can get to your ultimate destination in life. I mean, think about it. We've produced two children, our biological children. Both of them went to this school right here where you can walk. It's nothing special. We don't pay school fees in this school. I mean, yeah, we pay school fees, but nothing. I mean, it's nothing compared to what those kids in private schools pay. No. But just by walking the covenant, amen? Pastor Tinu told you one of these services, Christine was a guinea pig. It's true. She's right. She's right. Way back then when we used to have midweek service then, she would come every Wednesday. She didn't have a choice. I mean, it wasn't debatable, like where you can come and then goes, no, she'll come, midweek service. She'll have homework. She'll bring her books. She had to do her homework, though. Going to midweek service was not an excuse for not. So then many times she stayed up late into the early hours of the when other kids are sleeping. But when she came to the midweek service, she heard the word of God. That was foundation for her life. Then she put her own work on it. Well, Pastor Tinu told you, she's the first person in that school to go to Princeton. Nobody has gone there since then. Not one person has gone there since then. And she wasn't like she was the best person in her class. I remember Edie was saying this on the phone when he was praying. What were those words? Those words really struck me when I heard you say those. You said you were not the... He's not the valedictorian. Oh, sorry. How can God give him this? Truly. I mean, those are the people who get this stuff. Isn't that what you said in your prayer? Those are the people who get this stuff. He's not so why would God give him that? It's the covenant. It works. And even if there's only one person in the entire world who's practicing it, it will still work. I know more people will listen to some of these things if I was preaching it on TV. I soon will. If I display like I have a boatload. People listen to you more if they think you have money. If you have money, but you don't show it, they still won't listen. If you don't have money, but you show like you have money, people will listen to you. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way the world goes. More people will listen. But these things are true, whether the person you perceive them to have money or not. I can tell you how to help you raise your children, and your children can prosper. I know it. I know it as a truth from the Word of God. It's not the human doing it. It's the principle of the Word of God that's doing it. And in that principle, you have to line up. Things have to fall in order. You have to put one thing on top of the other. You can have a father is saying this, but the son or daughter knows if he goes to the mother will say the opposite. Because, you know, and then go and walk that, and then, you know, there is confusion. Everybody has to have one voice. This is what we're doing, this is what we're doing, that's it. This is where we're going, this is where we're going, that's it. It's not subject to debate. Amen. And you will prosper. I know when my children were much younger, I used to say to them, I don't say that anymore now because I don't have any reason to say it. Now they do understand. But way back then when our kids were much younger, I used to say, you may not necessarily like some of the things that we do with you right now, but you will appreciate it in the future. I think they will because it's foundational. You just grow up and you find out, wow, somebody helped me do the right thing even when I didn't know that's what I needed to do. We taught them some of what I'm going to teach you this morning, the principles of faithfulness. The principle of sticking with it, doing it right. No matter what anybody else is doing or not doing, you play your part. The principle of standing, the principle of being forthright, the principle of holding on and not quitting. Of course, the principle of godliness. All these things will make you. They'll prosper you. I mean, some of these kids, God launches you. You get those kind of opportunities. If you do the right thing with them, your life will never be the same, ever. You don't need your parents to keep prodding you. If you just walk by the direction you've been given, go through those doors. I mean, think about Christine. Went to Princeton, finished in Princeton. I mean, Pastor Tinu told you her story recently. Finished there, went to Mayo. I mean, in all of those places, truly, there were people there who said, she has to get in, she has to get in. We didn't know anybody there. We don't know anybody in Northwestern. We have no connections, no human connections there. And I know one of the letters that they sent you that I saw, the second one, said something about this year they actually had their strongest pool. Is it like something like the strongest pool of applicants? And he still came out as one of the tops. That's not just how much you read. No. People say, oh, if you just read hard. Yeah, read hard. But there's more to it than that. There's an anointing. You say, well, if you do this, you can go up here in your job. Let me tell you, there are people who can do it 10 times more than you. Plus, they will add things you can never do. If you want to do that, you can't compete. But when there is a divine, invisible hand that no human being can see, I mean, think about it. He's just going to keep orchestrating things. He's just going to keep moving. And these things don't happen every day. If they happen every day, it will be easy to believe. But even in the Bible times, they didn't happen every day. I mean, God didn't deliver Daniel out of the lion's den every day. This is only one time in his life. Only one time. It's a spectacle. He didn't deliver people from the three Hebrew boys from the fire every day. No. If it was an everyday thing, we would get used to it and we wouldn't go, No. You can actually go several months without experiencing anything like tremendous and then suddenly, bam! What you have to understand is all those months that you've gone without anything, bam, happening, the steps that you were taking as you were being ushered and ordered by the Lord, as you were being directed, the steps you were taking, the places you were going, the instructions you were following, the different things you were, all those things eventually lead to the bam moment. And God has some big bam moments for all of you. I know it, I can see. Bam. Yours may not be money.
Yours may not be school. Yours may not be career. Yours may not. But whatever your bam moment is, God has a bam moment for you. Amen. God has a moment, an explosive moment that can take you from wherever you are to wherever you need to go. Do you receive that? Amen. Well, I just thought I'd share that with you in the spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Let's thank God for ED again. Let's celebrate him and we'll rejoice over him. Amen, amen. All right. Okay, let's thank God for the praise team as they go. I'm going to minister very briefly. I think I already did half of my ministry. Glory to God. That's half of it already. I mean, what I shared with you this morning, if you just walk with that, I mean, by next week, you'll see some change. Amen? You see some growth. You see some increase. You see some blessing. Just take some steps according to the word of God. Watch God surprise you. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's do that confession. I want to do that confession this morning. Amen, amen. Woo, glory to God. Somebody say the word of God works. Say he's faithful. Come on, say his word works. He's faithful. Say one more time, the word of God works. He's faithful. Woo. Hallelujah. All right, 2019 confession. Let's do it together. 2, 3, go. 2019 is my year of accelerated miracles and guaranteed victory. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Whichever way life turns, whether the world goes up or down, when this is all over, we win. The victory that overcomes the world resides within me, and the greater one reigns through me. Jesus Christ is Lord over my life. All things are working together for my good and fitting into his flawless plan for my life. The hand of the Lord God is upon me for good, and his covenant with our family is forever good and secure. Surely he will favor me and perfect everything that concerns me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God will be good to us because he is the portion of our inheritance. Therefore, we will arise and build and put his kingdom first and foremost. I have a portion, a right, and a memorial in God, and something good is about to happen to me. I'm looking for it, expecting it, and getting ready for it. Hallelujah. By this time tomorrow, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings for me. By this time tomorrow, the tender grass of my seed will emerge and grow from the ground up. By this time tomorrow, my harvest will manifest and my miracle will arrive at my doorsteps. By this time tomorrow, new doors of opportunity will open up to me, and God will make all things new. Suddenly, the light will break forth like the noonday sun, and manifestations will spring forth speedily everywhere. Without a doubt, grace will show up and complete its work. As surely as the Lord lives, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 2019 is my year of accelerated miracles and guaranteed victory. The God of heaven, he will prosper us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Go with me to the book of Ephesians and look at chapter 3, please. Epistle to the Ephesians and chapter 3. Whoever is helping us with the overhead, please put that up for me in the Amplified. I want you to look at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, the purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God, in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects, might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities the principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. I know that's quite a mouthful, but I want you to look at a couple of things in that long verse in the Amplified that stand out real big. It says, God's purpose is that through the church, who's the church? You and me, all believers, brothers and sisters. Through you, the believer, the complicated, somebody say that word with me, complicated, many-sided, somebody say that word with me, many-sided, wisdom of God. Look at those two words that the Word of God uses to describe the wisdom of God. It's complicated. It's many-sided. And that's not all. Then he said it has infinite variety. There are so many ways around it. There are so many showings of it. And then innumerable aspects. Come on now. Look at these words in the Bible that describe the wisdom of God. It's complicated. So if somebody tells you that it is so simple that by doing this and that you can achieve all your goals in life and attain success, it's a lie. It's a lie. There is no... Now, some principles are established. Some principles are clear-cut. But somebody who's telling you, well, you just, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. He's a money doubler. Just give $50 today and by tomorrow, it'll be $200. Look for it in your mail. That's a lie. That is a pure lie. It does not work like that. The wisdom of God is complicated. It has many sides to it. Infinite variety, innumerable aspects. Do you know what that means? There's so many things about the wisdom of God that you can't preempt, you can't presume, you can't assume. And all of the complication of the wisdom of God is simplified in God himself. All the complications of the wisdom of God is simplified in God himself. You can be dealing with one of the most difficult problems of your life, and you can be in that situation and wondering, how am I ever going to get out of this? How am I ever going to get out? You look at this side, oh, this is bad. You look at the other side, oh, if I do this, oh, even if I try to do this, oh, this is bad all around. This is bad. And just by one little step God takes, that problem can be completely solved. Totally. And you have to try to find out, how did that happen? It's complicated. Just one swoop. Just like that. It's many-sided. It's innumerable. This is why the best thing any child of God, any child of covenant can do for themselves is taking those simple, basic steps that actually seem like there is nothing to it, but that line up with the Word of God when there is nothing spectacular going on. Just the simple, basic steps of before you make any step and before you make any decision, pray. It sounds simple. A dummy can think it's hard. It's so simple. Something that is too simple. Yes, it is simple. But that can lead to your next wealthy place. There is no big thing that God wants to do in our lives that doesn't begin with the simple little things. Just the simple steps. Pray. Ask for the wisdom of God. Get direction. Have peace. Make sure your timing is right. Get counsel. Make sure you are not putting your interest first. Make sure you are honoring God. Make sure the glory of God is primary, not your benefit. Then sit still and let the Lord walk. And then at some point, like I told you a couple of teachings ago, I said, you ask God, I don't know what to do. And finally, God will say, here's wisdom. This is what you need to do. Then what should you do then? Go do it. That way you might want to do it and you feel like, but this is so hard. I don't know, Lord. Yeah, and I have your wisdom, but I don't, Lord, I need your grace. Okay, that's good. That's good prayer. Lord, please give me grace. Okay, great. And God says, okay, here's grace. Now that you have wisdom and you have grace, what should you do then? Just go do it. As simple as it is, take the step. Take the simple step. I've never been able to understand it in so many years of pastoring. Why it's so difficult for believers in America to turn the page and become passionate for God. I've just never been able to understand that. We're so distracted. We're distracted to the point that most pastors on the pulpit look for a way to keep the churches engaged, and they create drama. They have to create fire. They have to make fire burn on the stage. They have to make, like, you know, if we don't have the glory of God, you have to have something that looks like it. We have to have things. You know, we have to keep people engaged. It's like, because we're so distracted. But let me tell you, no matter how engaged we keep people, if the foundation thing, that thing that is the real foundation, all this drama does not create miracles. Are you listening to me? All of this noise. I mean, you can come up with 101 things. Oh, just do this and go do that. And go do this. And it looks spectacular. But I don't want what looks spectacular. I want spectacular itself. Amen. I want the real supernatural spectacular. So I believe in tithing. For finances, I believe I am a sold-out tither. Many years ago, a gentleman asked me in this church, he's no longer here, years ago. He said, Pastor, what's your plan for your children's college education? Do you have a college savings account? I said, college savings account? I said, I don't even have money to eat. Where am I going to get college savings account from? Say, oh, Pastor, you need to start thinking. I said, listen, I'm going to keep taking these steps that I know now. If the Lord gave me a bundle of money and I have it, I'll take off the tithe and give the Lord what belongs to him. And I'll put the rest of it away as preparation for college. If he gave me that, I will do it. But I said, he hasn't given me yet. I don't have it. I haven't seen it. So I said, I won't bother myself. This is what I told him. He laughed. He laughed when I told him. I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to keep on taking these steps that I know to take. I just keep walking like this. I'll keep showing up every week and preaching to you that the word of God works. I keep living it the best I know how. I'm certainly not perfect. I'm just like you, you know. I mean, somebody's... Say, Pastor, you too, you're like me. Yeah, I'm just like you. I have flesh and blood just like you. What do you think I have? You think I have spirit running in my veins? You kidding me? Yeah, right. Yeah, you wish. Yeah, you wish. Yeah, right. I get tripped up just like you. I have emotions just like you. You know, I get upset. Sometimes I say things I shouldn't say. Sometimes I, you know, I want to do things I shouldn't do. I mean, I'm just like you. The only difference might be, I have more consideration. I say, all right, well, that's not pleasing to God, so I won't do that. I'll keep my mouth shut. That's it. So I said to him, I just keep doing these simple things that I know to do, and I'll trust him to take care of that when that time comes. Guess what?
He has done far better. The Lord, I mean, has done far better than I could ever have done. We calculated it recently. Our first child has spent over $500,000. Over $500,000 beginning from 2012. This is 2019. So in 7 years, over $500,000 for education.
I mean, how would I have saved that?
I mean, if I saved every dime that I got and I didn't eat and I didn't buy clothes and I didn't buy shoes and I didn't go to the movies and I didn't do anything else in my life, I just, every little dime I get, I go put it under the pillow somewhere. Just, I still have $500,000 today. But the word of God works. God said, don't worry, I'll pay for it. And yes, he did. He's still doing it. Hallelujah. I'll take care of you. Don't worry. Just keep going. It's so simple, folks. It's so simple. I know time is gone. Many of you say I preach too long. Many times. You are right, I preach too long. I'm learning now to preach short. But the reason I preach long many times, actually, is because of what is in my heart. It's not like I just want to talk. No, I don't. Actually, he asked one of my mentors, I heard him reason, boy, I'm in such a good place in my life right now. Oh, I'm so excited. My youth has been renewed like the eagles. I mean, things I haven't done in years. I thought, Lord, thank you for delivering me from pastoring. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Years. I wrote a song 25 years ago. About 25 years ago, I think it must have been, you know. That song was titled Make Me a Spectacle. I wrote it in the mission field in northern Nigeria, in Zaria, I think I was there. 1988, I think it was. How many years? 1988. Sorry, no, sorry. 1990. How many years ago is that? 1990? That's like 29. We're almost hitting 30 years. Right? Isn't 1990? Isn't that 29 years ago? Yes, sir. Do you know, I've not remembered this song in years. I was driving yesterday, and this song came to me. Make me a spectacle. Make me a light to shine. I thought, wow, Lord. I think I was thinking about this message. God will make you a spectacle. And this song just came. Make me a spectacle. That sounds familiar. Yeah, I heard the Lord say, yeah, you wrote that song. I said, I did. Yeah, that's true. I wrote that song. Oh, my gosh, I wrote that song, Make Me a Spectacle. Believe it or not, the moment I drove into my office, I went into my box. I had this box from stuff from 30, 35 years ago. Dug into that box, brought out that notebook, and there it was in my songs book, the very first song in that book, Make Me a Spectacle. I've not remembered that song in decades. In decades. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from pastoring. So the reason I say many of the things I say, the reason I preach the way I preach, the reason I'm invested the way I am, is passion. That's what it is. I've done it for so long, and I've seen it work. I've never seen it fail, ever. In all of these years, I've never seen it fail. In all of these years, the wisdom of God, it's complicated, many-sided, but it is simplified in God himself. What does that mean? In just doing what God tells you. So it is complicated, many-sided, and wow, you know, if you try to use your mind to to try to get answers to all the issues of life, when you use your mind to solve one, that one you solve will create a complication somewhere else. That complication will create another complication somewhere else. That complication will create another complication. By the time you are done, this one you thought you solved will now be worse than when you started. This is the way life works. But the wisdom of God, just tells you, just do that. And you do that, it's like, how many of you, what's that thing that we throw and hit pins? What's that game? Forgive me now, my bowling. How many of you bowl here? You ought to go bowl sometimes. You just throw that one thing, it hits all the pins. From one pin, it hits one pin, and then all the other pins, and every, before you know, everything is all out. That's the wisdom of God. It takes care of everything in one swoop, and it was not mental. Not that God does not use your mind. God moves through your mind, but he doesn't begin in your mind. He begins in your spirit being. That's why if you don't have it in your spirit being, you are in trouble, because you think you are solving a problem, but in solving that one problem, you are actually creating a plethora of other problems that may take you a lifetime to deal with. I'm telling you the truth. I've seen it too many times. They think, I'm going to deal with this issue, and this is what I'm going to do. In their minds, I'm going to do this in my mind. They're going to do it. And in creating that, they now create problems. By the time they've gone 5 years, they now wish they never did that first thing they did. But because it all began from their minds. It was not the wisdom of God. It's complicated. It's many-sided, innumerable varieties. But you know what? In just one swoop, just one step, the wisdom of God can launch you to the next season of your glory just because you obeyed his instruction. It's not mental. God does use your mind. Don't get me wrong. You're not supposed to suspend your mind. But it does not come from you racking your brain. You see, you hear the sound of computers when they are working hard. You will not make it. The wisdom of God, though, will elevate you, and through one step, all the issues in your life can be sorted. All. I know for a fact, Father, I will forever thank you. I will forever bless your name. I will forever glorify you. I know for a fact, when we took steps, we were living in an apartment, first in Bedford, and then we moved to an apartment in Shaker Heights. And the education of our children was a strong push, strong motivation for us. And we went to a lot of very good communities, Solon, Woodmere, Brecksville, what are some of those other places on the west side, then here, and the light of God took us to a place in Mayfield Heights. The light of God. That one decision in 2005 has played a major role in where our children are today. I can tell you that for a fact. I have no doubt about it. Because if they had gone to another school system, no matter how good that school system is, no matter how wealthy professionals are there, this, that, all this stuff we think in our minds, they could not have been connected. God connected them to like a couple of people. Elementary school, middle school, high school. God connected them. And these people just fell in love with them. And they stood out. Not because the school was the best school, but that's where they were supposed to be. They stood out. And those people would do anything. Okay, they would write essays with them. They would burn the midnight oil. They would, and through those connections, and most importantly, their own spiritual foundation, which we didn't have to compromise. We did not have to compromise that. Parents, it's very simple, raising children. You know, many of you are grandparents, some of you are parents, some of you are not even parents yet. It's very simple. Just follow the word of God. Just be willing to follow the anything you do, whether you're professional, whether, look, listen, it does not start from where you write your resume. It starts from the first steps you take. How many things have we done over the last few years? I mean, some of the stuff, I look at some of the things we're doing, even with governmental agencies, and I'm looking at the steps that the Lord directed at the beginning that we just obeyed. And those things are producing. It wasn't mental. The Lord just said, do this. It wasn't based on talking to someone. There's nothing wrong with that. Talk with people, get counsel, get direction. Yes, get wisdom. But then, at the end of the day, now sit down and ask the Lord, Lord, what do we do about this? And then find out what the Lord wants you to do. And do it. Whether it's with banks, whether it's with whatever it is you are involved in. Don't bring yourself down to the level. I was thinking just a couple of days ago, how the Lord, our home in North Carolina, how the Lord gave us this home. I mean, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous how the light of God works. It's ridiculous. It's like an angel of God took us to this place and stopped and said, here it is. Exactly like that. It was mental. It's like God actually took us there. Bam, it came together. No stress. No loss of sleep. Hallelujah. No drama. Everything. So the Lord says, just do this. Believers, we got to follow the Lord. Put up for me. I'm going to close, try to close. Proverbs 28:20. This wisdom of God, in order for it to become this many-sided, innumerable, for God to make you a spectacle, we have to grow in the wisdom. That means we have to grow, we have to add wisdom to wisdom. I've already walked you through a number of things that help you grow in wisdom. I've told you, asking God helps you grow in wisdom. I've told you, seeking for it diligently, prioritizing it, like, I want it, going after it, reading books, following people who have done stuff, asking questions, and just listening and gaining experience from those who have gone ahead. That helps you grow in wisdom. I've talked about wisdom. It comes by impartation of the Holy Spirit. As you are hearing me today, I'm not addressing any particular issue you are going through in your life, I don't think, but I guarantee you, in just a few hours from today, a couple of days from today, something that you are looking for direction for, you might be sitting in your car and the answer will come to you. Because you receive an impartation of the wisdom of God. I know that. So wisdom comes by impartation. We've already learned wisdom comes through peace. You have to have the right environment, is peace. We've talked about the foundation of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. You have to walk in the fear of the Lord. If you don't walk in the fear of the Lord, you will not grow in wisdom. Amen? And then I think the last time I was here, we talked about wisdom coming more to you by virtue of your being prudent. The more you do it, the more God adds to you. So acting on it. The Bible says it's not the hearers of the word that are blessed, it's the doers of the word. So how many people have these big Bibles and they go to all the conferences, but they never do anything that is in those things. They never do what they are told.
They just have a lot of knowledge in their minds. Knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge is a part, is a precursor to wisdom. But in addition to gaining knowledge, you have to exhibit, you have to invest, and you have to divest. And let me mention briefly today, the one thing I want you to take away today that adds wisdom to you is faithfulness. Faithfulness. When you are faithful, you put yourself in a position to receive batch loads, doses of the wisdom of God from heaven. It comes to you. Faithfulness puts you in position to receive wisdom. The Bible says a faithful man abounds in blessings. But one of the blessings of heaven is wisdom. Some of you might remember the story of Ruth. Naomi gave her direction and said, go do this. But the reason she was able to get that wisdom, and that changed her life completely forever, but the reason she was able to get that wisdom was because she was faithful to Naomi. Naomi says, why don't you go? Go find a husband like Oprah. Like Oprah. It's not, it's Oprah, but I think let's just call it Oprah. Naomi said, go find another young, nice-looking dude like I used the guy, one of the most unfaithful people in the Bible is a young man named Absalom. I called him Abs. Naomi said, just go find Abs. You know, the Bible described Absalom as a fine-looking dude. And they helped me describe him in the Akron service. Tall, handsome, blue eyes. And one of the ladies said, curly hair. I said, man, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Because which man, is there any man in this church that has curly hair? Anyone? Any man here that has curly hair? Like long, a lot of long curly hair. We're all in trouble. You guys, go. That there's something called hair grow. Let's we but you know, this is why the Bible says God isn't moved by your appearance. Do you know when Samuel went into the house of David's dad to go anoint the next king? In his mind, when he saw Eliab, I think is the guy's name. This man, this tall, handsome, cool-looking dude. I mean, curly hair, blue eyes, and with all the, what are some of those things you guys read in Daniel last week? Was it last week or the week before? It's a handsome and healthy. What was that? What were those words? You know, nice. I mean, just put it all together in a package. Man, if you have all of that, but you don't have the heart of faithfulness, forget it. Just forget it. Just forget it. So God doesn't look at all of those things. The one thing that qualifies you first, then you add those things. And then you are good to go. The one thing that God is always looking for is faithfulness. So Naomi said to Ruth, go find you an Abs. Absalom is the name of the guy who dethroned his own father. You read the story. He's so handsome, he's very, very, charismatic. But David was a faithful man. David was so faithful to the point that even when they killed Abs, David wouldn't eat and he wouldn't sleep. The whole day he sat out and said, my son Absalom, my son, he kept weeping for him until somebody said, what's wrong with you? This guy was going to kill you. Come on, get over it and let's move on. But it showed you the faithfulness of the heart of David. No wonder the wisest human being that came into the world in the Old Testament came through him. Faithfulness makes you increase in wisdom. When you are a faithful person, You know what faithfulness means? Let me show you one scripture that combines faithful and wise and wisdom. Luke 24. Put that up for me real quick. I got to close. I know it's 1 o'clock. You guys don't mind me just maybe taking 5 or 10 minutes extra? I haven't preached to you in like 2 or 3 weeks. And I won't be back for another 2. Can you stand like 10 more minutes or something? Can you? I'll stop if you tell me to stop. I'm a man under authority, but if you say I can, look, what was that scripture I gave? Luke 12, 42, 43. I'm going to stop. Give me 10 minutes to close here. Luke 12, 42, 43. I want you to see what that scripture says. Give it to us in the King James, please. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Who then is that faithful and wise steward? Because faithfulness is a precursor to wisdom. Give us another one. We won't read this. This is your homework. I know Pastor Tinu gives you guys homework, so you can take one from me too, right? Matthew 25. You go read that. It's the story of the virgins. The story of the wise, there's 5 of them that were wise, there's 5 of them that were foolish. In that scripture in Matthew 25, the Bible talks about these wise virgins and foolish virgins. This is Matthew 25 from verse 1 to 13. This is your homework. You go read. I have another homework for you in the Old Testament. I'll give it to you in just a minute. Matthew 25 from 1 to 13, the Bible talks about the virgins, the wise ones, the foolish ones. Then from verse 14, the Bible starts talking about faithfulness. Talks about a man who was going on a long journey, and he called his stewards and gave them resources. Because faithfulness and wisdom are tied together. The spirit of faithfulness is what qualifies you for the anointing. The anointing, the graces of God, the graces of life that you need to thrive and to succeed, they are poured out upon your life through the spirit of faithfulness. You remember, what's this prophet's name? Elijah was about to be taken. How many people remember the story of Elijah? Was about to be taken, and he said to his servant, what was his servant's name? Elisha. He said to his servant, you wait here. I need to get over there. I'll be back. Elisha said, Anywhere you go, I'm going. You know the rest of the story. That's another homework. You can go read the story. 2 Kings 2, I think it's chapter 2 from verse 1. He went to Jericho. He went to Bethel. He went to, what's that other place he went to now? Jordan. And this man just wouldn't quit. He wouldn't quit. Finally, the Bible says, the fire of God came and took Elijah away. And as he was taking Elijah, everything that Elijah had dropped, including wisdom, times 2. He received a double portion. If he had been in Jericho when Elijah left, I guarantee you, he would never have gotten it, ever. Faithfulness is a precursor to the wisdom of God. All right, I have one last scripture. I'm having too much fun. One last scripture, 2 Samuel chapter 20. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Okay, I better hurry up because today we have to bless. I call her Josephine, but she's Celine. She's on her way out to Dallas. Is it Dallas? Later this week. And we're going to miss you. We're going to pray for her and bless her as she goes forth. Amen. We're going to miss you. Now, if I forget, that means you are not supposed to go. So. Ha 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 So just watch. If I remember, that is your confirmation that yes, you're on your way. But if I forget, and I go through communion, and I go through, what's the last thing we do after communion? Benediction. And I don't call your name, just forget it. Just forget it. God doesn't have a blessing for you in Dallas. Just forget it. That's the Lord speaking to you. My daughter, do not go to Dallas. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from pastoring. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, are you there? 2 Samuel chapter 20. 2 Samuel chapter 20. Now, this is your last homework. And this story, we don't talk about it that much. It's one of the most powerful stories in the Old Testament. I've alluded to it a little bit, but, you know, there's a certain aspect of it. I guess probably 80 to 90% of you have never even read this story, this particular aspect of the story. But I'm going to point one or two things out to you real quick. This is a story of David. When David, Absalom kicked him out, wanted to take the throne. David had to leave. Then finally he came back. Absalom, you know, died. And well, when David came back, he was trying to reunite and unify the nation. In verse 1, you just look at verse 1, there's a particular guy who said, let's everybody go to your different places. Let's forget about King David. His time is over. This guy's name is Sheba. The Bible calls him, in the Old Testament, the Word of God, the Bible uses the term, what's the term he uses for him? As a man of Belial. When the Bible calls you a man of Belial, that's trouble. But that's what the Bible calls him in King James. But the Amplified calls him a contemptible. Contemptible. Contemptible simply means just forget this guy. He's not faithful. He's not good. He doesn't have the right motivation, blah, blah, blah. This guy Sheba, though, this was his big problem was, he said, look, we have no portion in David, no inheritance in the son of Jesse, every man to his tents, O Israel. Come on, let's everybody just scatter, go to your different places. And David heard about it. David was so upset. David called the general in his army and said, let's go get this guy. His name is Sheba. So let's go. I need you to go get Sheba. Now, there's something I want to show you here. We talk a lot about wisdom. I'm going to do this in 2 minutes and close. And then you have a homework. Your homework is to read 2 chapters before chapter 20, 2 chapters after. You can see a lot of things there that you grow on. But a lot of times we talk about, men of wisdom. We talk about how men. There are quite a number of places in the Bible where the Word of God actually tells us there are women of wisdom. This is one of those scriptures. Tells us about a wise woman. Many times we talk about wise men. Actually singles out a woman that the Bible calls a wise woman who saved an entire city based on her wisdom, right here in this story. And I fell in love with the story because of what I'm teaching on today. Faithfulness is a precursor to wisdom. All right, so David said, go look for Sheba and let's, just deal with him and let's get everybody back together. Joab was the general of David's army. When someone told him, oh, Sheba is hiding out there in that particular city. So they told him where he is. And so Joab and his men went to the outskirts of that city and they thought, how do we get this guy? Well, there's probably no easy way to get him. Let's just burn down this entire city. That's what they thought. They were deliberating about it. Let's just burn it down, kill everybody in there. If we kill everybody in there, we know that, this guy is dead. Sheba is dead with them. And while they were deliberating about it, this woman of wisdom showed up. So now, pick this up and look at what verse. Look at verse 14. So Joab went through all the tribes of Israel and he came to this particular place. And then in verse 15, they came and they besieged Sheba in Abel of Beth Maacah, and they cast up a siege mound against the city, and he stood against the rampart. And all the men with Joab did what? Battered and undermined the wall to make it fall. So they were going to pull down this city. Look at verse 16.
Then a wise woman. Somebody say a wise woman. Come on, say it with me. A wise woman. Then a wise woman of the city cried. Say, hear, hear. I'm reading actually just the Amplified is a better, easy to read. So you can have that on the screen. Hear, hear. Say to Joab, come here so I can speak to you. She accosts this general. And when he came near, the woman said, are you Joab? He answered, I am. Then she said to him, hear the words of your handmaid. Joab said, I'm listening. Then she said, people used to say, let them but ask counsel at Abel. And so they settled the matter. Meaning, this woman starts accosting this general. And she said, you know, this city you're about to pull down is a city that has a heritage in wisdom. Most people will go to this city to try to find counsel. And that's the first thing she said to Joab. It made Joab think, huh, really? Oh, no, then I won't destroy this city. Keep reading. And she said, verse 19? I am one of the peaceable and faithful. No. We've already learned the environment that wisdom grows in, two things, peace, edification. The foundation that wisdom grows on, the fear of the Lord. This woman said, I'm one of the peaceable. And, come on, say that word with me. And, come on, and faithful in Israel. So you are seeking to destroy a city which is a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? This woman had the right words. I love the story of this woman because her wisdom saved this entire city. Do you know if you're a man or woman of wisdom, you can save a generation through the wisdom of God? You can save your family. You can save children that are yet unborn. You know that? If you're a man or woman of wisdom, God can use you to rescue generations. God can use you to deliver a nation. Let's not go that far. God can use you to save your home. Have you heard the scripture in Proverbs where it says, a wise woman builds her home? If you're a woman or man of wisdom, God can actually use you to raise and rescue a home that is set for destruction. Do you know that? All the targets and all the fiery attacks of the enemy may already be targeted towards that family to bring it down, to destroy, to tear it apart. And because you're a woman of wisdom or a man of wisdom, you can actually stand at the gate and say, not happening. Not because you are this strong person in the MMA. Right? Not because you are, what's that one? What's her name? Yeah, right. Thank you, man. That's my man right there. That's him. That's my guy right there. No. Not because you are that strong, but because you have the wisdom of God. Because through the wisdom of God, you can speak the right words. You can say the right things. Things can be falling apart. Things can be upside down. And through the wisdom of God, and many of you are actually targeted by God. Many of you are assigned by God to rescue generations through the wisdom of God. Through words that God will put in your mouth. God can use many of you to bring people together who are at loggerheads. God can use many of you to build dilapidated families and generations and nations and cities and communities through the wisdom of God. Let's close right here. And Joab said in verse 19, the woman said, I'm one of the peaceable and faithful in Israel, who you seek to destroy a city that is a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? Verse 20, Joab answered and said, far be it from me. Right there and then, Joab changed his mind. Far be it from me that I should swallow. Why? Because of this woman of wisdom. Verse 21, that is not true. But a man of the hill country of Ephraim, Sheba the son of Bichri, has lifted up his hand against the king David. So Joab said to her, deliver this man to me
and I will depart from the city. Listen to the woman. And the woman said, behold, his head shall be thrown to you over the wall. How is she going to do it? Because she's so strong? No, through her words, through her wisdom. Verse 22, watch this now. The Bible says, then the woman, in her wisdom, glory to God, she went to all the people. They cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and they cast it down to Joab. So he blew the trumpet, and they left the city alone. She has so much wisdom. She knew how to turn. She knew how to make. And she was not manipulating. She was not trying to, you know, how people sometimes try to just kind of, they try to wind you up. It's kind of just, you know, they play these silly little games. No, that's not what she's doing. She's a woman of wisdom. Through her wisdom, an entire city was saved. And God restored honor to a land that the enemy sought to destroy. Well, what did she call herself? She says, I'm a faithful woman. I'm peaceable and I'm faithful. We already know wisdom doesn't grow in strife. But one thing we need to learn is wisdom actually grows through faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness simply means the commitment to see it through. The commitment to stick with it until you get to the end. That's what faithfulness is. Faithfulness is being loyal to God, being loyal to God's calling over your life, being loyal to the people in your team, in your whatever, people you are assigned to work with. It's faithfulness. Faithfulness works both ways. It works up and it works down. Faithfulness is the commitment to esteem what matters, even at a cost to yourself. I said in Akron, the church has moved so far away from talking about the spirit of faithfulness. It is a shame and a disgrace. People esteem things that don't matter over faithfulness. And a lot of times what we don't realize is our promotion is tied to our faithfulness. Whatever assignment God has given you, your promotion in life. Well, let's start with, I hope you have an assignment. Everybody should have an assignment in the kingdom of God. Amen? Do we have anyone here except visitors? Anyone here who is not even serving at all in the house of God? There isn't anything that you do. Anyone, just raise your hand. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just trying to give you an assignment real quick. Just raise your hand. Anyone here who doesn't, you right now, there isn't something that you do in the house of God. Just raise your hand. Anyone like that? Because, you know, most churches, we have 10% of the people doing 90% of the work. So no one, everybody here is active, doing stuff. All right, that's good. All right. Is there anyone that is doing just one thing? You are committed to doing just one thing. You're a worshiper here, but there's only one thing you do in the church. Anyone like that? Only one thing? Anybody? Do I see any hand? Back there, one. Anyone? Anyone here? Two. Anybody else? Okay. You pray about it if you can add one more thing. Pray about it and see if you can add something else to what you already do. Something that won't stretch you too much, that won't belabor you too much, something that you can fit within your scope right now. I'm talking about faithfulness, and right here I'm just focusing on faithfulness in the house of God, right here. Anybody who's doing two things but that can add one extra thing, can add one more thing? Anybody like that here? You're already kind of doing two things, but maybe there's one more thing you can add to what you already do. Is there anybody like that? No, you're all just like, no, man, I'm tired. Just forget it. Forget it. Don't even think about it. Count me out of that. No, I'm not. I really mean this. Anybody else who can add something to what they already do in the house? Why am I the only person who's laughing in this church? What's wrong with you? Come on. Is there anybody else who can add something to what they already do? No? Okay, I'll just pray for you then. What I'm going to pray for you is that the Lord, because I know there's probably something in your heart you wish you could do, but you just don't have the space for it. What I'm going to pray for you is that the Lord will bring someone who can do it. How about that? I know our praise team, I've talked to Minister Brian. We do need people to join our praise team, don't we? We need help in that praise team. There are probably other areas. I know I talked to Minister Sharon. I don't know if you guys already have more help in the ushers. Brother Bill, you joined the ushers, man. I think I saw you out there today. Man, glory to God. Woo! I was inspired seeing you there. Glory to God. Now, maybe we can have some other people help us with ushering. Media, children's church. How about we just pray that the Lord send some more laborers? Amen. If all the laborers we have are already kind of just, they are just overwhelmed. How about we pray that? Amen. This is the church of God, right? Yes. How about we pray that the Lord just send some more laborers? Amen. Now I want us to sow a seed towards that. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from pastoring. Man, I feel this apostolic garment. I just walk into churches now. I'm so excited. I'm just like, yeah, glory to God. Let's do this. Let's do this. Come on, Minister John. Come on. You're gonna pray. Let's do this. Come on, Minister Brian. Both of you are going to pray with me. We're going to sow a seed. And we're going to use the praise team as a point of contact for that seed. What these two gentlemen are going to pray, you guys grab mics, you're going to pray now. We're going to sow a seed. Everybody stand to your feet. Don't we need help in the house of the Lord? It's the work of the Lord, right? It's not some human being's work, right? Is it some human being's work? Some person? Is it? No. It's the Lord's work. And we do need help. And he said, this is actually one of the prayers the Lord gave us instruction to pray. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. He told us directly to pray that. So I'm going to have them pray. I want you to sow a seed. You already gave your offering today. I don't care if it's $1. I don't care if it's 50 cents, whatever. The amount doesn't matter. You don't have to put it in an envelope. So that way we don't have to, you know, go through all the rigmarole of, you know, trying to document and all of that. Just when we're done, don't worry, when we're done, just drop it right there at the altar. What I want you to do for me, every single one of you, now listen to this very carefully, every single one of you who is already, and I know I'm probably speaking to a lot of ministers and leaders and things like that, every one of you who, and a lot of committed workers, every one of you who is already strongly serving, you're probably serving in one major area, serving in multiple areas, and you just wish in your heart that there were more people serving like you. I want you to sow a seed. That's when, after we close, we're going to close when we get done, take communion and close. I want you to sow a dollar seed, dollar, whatever, 50, whatever it is, whatever God puts you in. Put something on this altar. And when you put it there, Lord, this is my seed. In partnering with Abundant Life International Church, this ministry that you breathed into existence, this particular local church here in the city of Cleveland, this, I'm not talking about all the other local churches or other local ministries, I'm talking about this one right here in Cleveland, Ohio. Lord, I'm sowing this seed as a point of contact in partnering with this mission, with this vision. And I'm asking you to send laborers into this house. I receive it by faith, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And when you sow that seed, I want that seed to be a reminder to you through the rest of this week. Like I said, I don't care what it is. Let that seed be a reminder to you throughout the rest of this week. I want you to pray for laborers. And laborers will come from the north, the south, the west, the east. You speak, that people that have already been assigned and commissioned by God will be released. People that may be held by circumstances, people that may be held maybe by the enemy, people that may be held by drama, distractions, and different things going on in their lives, they'll be released to come into this house and that they'll find their place of service. Can you join your faith with me in that? We're using the praise team right here back behind me as a point of contact for that. So if you join your faith with me, I'm going to ask our two ministers. You guys go ahead and pray right now.
Oh, Father God, we come for you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Your word says that this is the confidence that we have in you, that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And if we know that you hear us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked of you, Father God. We know that it is your will to send laborers into your house, Father God. You want this church and you want the church in general, Father God, to be filled with laborers. So we pray, Father God, that every single person that is assigned to this ministry, Father God, they will be released from wherever they are. If they are under the hold of Satan, Father God, wherever they are, Father God, we pray that they be released now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. We pray that you would open the eyes of their hearts so that they could see where they are supposed to be, where they are supposed to get under as far as this ministry is concerned, Father God. Send laborers into this house, Father.
Yes.
Release them to this place now in the mighty name of Jesus, yes. Father God. Send forth your ministering angels to gather them up, Father God, and to usher them into this place, Father God. Send people out to begin to minister to them. So their eyes will be open, Father God, so that the scales that the enemy may have over their eyes will be dropped off, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask these things.
In Jesus' name, Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity, Father God, that we have to serve in your house, those that are serving, Father God. And Lord, we just ask that you would create a stirring in the hearts of those that are designed to be in this house, a part of this ministry, serving, Father God. I ask, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you will move on their hearts, that you will create a wrestling, Father God, that they would be drawn to this ministry, that they will find their place, their God-given assignment, Lord, that you created them for, the purpose, the destiny, that they would come in and be a solution to issues, to problems, to things that we need to get done within this ministry, Father God. I pray that your ministering angels would move, and even now, Father God, on their behalf, and that, Lord, the provisions, the resources, the connections that we need for this ministry that are tied to those individuals will come in now in the name of Jesus, Father God. We thank you. We give you praise in advance. We believe and we know because this is an agreement with your word, Father God. So, Lord, we thank you. We give you all of the honor. We give you all of the glory. We give you all the praise that you deserve because we know they are coming. They are on the way. They are released, and they are on their way to this ministry now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Lord, we receive them soon and very shortly, Father God. Things are changing. Things are happening, Father God. They are coming from the north, from the south, from the east and the west in the name of Jesus, Father God. We give you all the praise. We declare it is so in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Woo! Glory to God. Come on, let's bless the name of the Lord.